Our brother Peter said in the New Testament, it is good for us to be here. We are certainly blessed beyond measure to be in this conference. We had a few years where we weren't able to come, and the last 2 years now we've been able to be back, and we are very, very blessed to be in your presence, to have been able to fellowship with so many and be encouraged in the work of the Lord. That is the purpose of fellowship, and we're thankful for it. Lots of strengthening, thankful for the words Brother Gordon spoke, all by the grace of God. We have never felt like we've been as faithful as we should be or done as well as we should do, but we're thankful by the grace of God that we just keep continuing, and just pray that the Lord would bless us in that all, that we all would go back to our homes, to our churches, and just keep continuing until the Lord returns for us, whenever that may be. We're thankful that you all have stayed, despite the fact that, as one preacher put it, it's amateur hour over the next couple of hours for this service. That's all right. You know, this spot right after lunch is always said to be the hardest to keep people awake. But if you stay awake for this hour, you can sleep during the next hour. And and you know, I'm sure Brother Mark won't mind, but well, those that are members here, I've heard him preach much, so no. We're thankful to have friends in the ministry and to be among many of them here today, and thankful for all those things. I'd like to invite you to our Bible conference, June the 25th through the 27th. It's a Thursday night through a Saturday morning. We'd like to have you come and be a part of those services. If you need a hotel accommodations, let us know. You can check that out on our website as well. And just pray the Lord to bless as we approach that time. It'll be here before you know it, as it comes upon us so quick. We're thankful for the invitation to preach. It is a humbling experience. It is humbling whenever you handle the Word of God, whether it's before your family in devotion time or in the pulpit. But it's especially humbling to stand in another brother's pulpit and preach the Word of God. And so we are thankful for that. Also humbled by all the messages that have been preached so far. It has been wonderful, and we'll get our little bit out of the way, and you can enjoy some more here in a little bit. Turn with us this afternoon to two passages of Scripture, the first in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and then also you can find Titus chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter number 11, we will read first, beginning in verse number 1, continuing down to verse number 3. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Then turn with us over to Titus chapter number 2. I'd like to read in verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, and exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In these two passages that we've read in your hearing this afternoon, there are many worthy topics that could be preached, many worthy things that could be brought out. But the things that we desire to bring out this afternoon reside around the word authority in verse number 15, and then in the passage we read in 1 Corinthians 11, the word head. The subject of authority has been preached on, has been touched on by many throughout the conference. Brother Works, of course, talking about church authority. Brother Stapp talked about civil authority. We have heard about the authority of Scriptures and other things, and we're going to hear some more of that here this afternoon. But as we notice at the end of verse number 15, Paul's exhortation to Timothy was that no man would despise him. And I take from that that he was instructing Timothy not to let any man despise the authority that was placed in the church and Timothy, the word of God that he was presenting to them that had just been delivered from Paul. He was to not allow despising of authority to happen. We live in a day and an age when there is much despising of authority. It doesn't really matter what kind of authority you're speaking of. There is a great despising of authority. As we read there in 1 Corinthians 11, everyone has a head. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how highly you think of yourself. Doesn't matter how rich a person might be, how much political connection they might have. Even the kings and the presidents and all those that are in offices across our land and throughout the world, they have their head as well. In truth, there is no man, no woman, no boy, no girl in this world today that does not have a head or is not under the authority of someone. That needs to be remembered today. And there is a great despising of authority because our flesh, our society doesn't like the idea of being under the rule of someone else. Being under the direction, being under the authority. And the word authority means the right to act, the power to command, to give orders, the ability to rule. When we think about the subject of authority, we don't like it because we want to feel as if we are free to do as we want to do. After all, we're Americans, right? Brother Stapp preached about being Americans and how wonderful it truly is and has been to be Americans. But one problem we have as Americans is that we think that our freedom means that we are under no authority. Truth is, you can't have freedom without authority. There is authority everywhere we look in our lives. You know, sometimes women bemoan the authority that their husband have over them. Think, well, if I was just the husband, I could do as I please, but that's not true. Husband has his head too. And if some of you could explain to me the fact that God is the head of Christ and how all that works, you can do that after we get done. Because there's a lot there, and we're not going to try to even touch it. But I take from that that even Christ has his head. And so there is no one here today that can say that they are under the authority or the rule of no one. We need to understand as we begin this morning or this afternoon to think about authority, that all authority is derived from God. All the authority we read about in 1 Corinthians 11, it is all derived from God. He is the one that possesses all authority. He is the one that is what is called autocratic. He is the only one that possesses authority of himself because of his nature. Because of his power, because of who he is. Any other authority is derived or delegated from God. Even to those who are unsaved, even to those kings and leaders and presidents of our lands who have sat in the Oval Offices and have been anything but godly or righteous, still their authority is delegated from God. And that is what we need to consider. Authority is God-given. Authority is glorifying to God. Authority is good for us. We need to get back to the place where we think in that fashion. He has ordained his authority to preserve an orderly society. He has ordained and delegated his authority to preserve an ordered worship and an ordered church and an ordered kingdom. And we need to realize today that we are not here to do as we please. In the preaching about the do's and the don'ts and the lists and the things that we must needs preach from time to time, we don't preach them because we think they are good for people or because they are what we like. We preach them because God in His authority has said, this is what pleases me. Amen. And we had better be concerned today about what pleases God. Because we are all under His authority. There are many people today in this world that have authority issues. Issues with authority. You hear about soldiers being dismissed with a dishonorable discharge from the army because they could not handle authority. Having sergeants and others rule over them and tell them what to do. We have many in our political ranks that have no idea that they are under the authority of the law of this land. And they do as they please. We find many in our society, the criminal element, think that no one has authority over them and they may do as they please. And that is all true. But before we wag a finger at all of those people, we must address the fact that even as Baptists, we have authority issues. And the title for our thoughts this morning is in the form of a question. And that is simply, do we still believe in authority? Do we still believe in authority? And that question has been answered somewhat. We'll get into more of that in just a minute. And there are many kinds of authority in our lives today, and many we won't look at. We don't have time to think about civil authority. It's been touched on. Husband authority, parental authority. Oh, that's a big one today. You think about how our government, how our society wants to take away our rights to raise our kids and to do for them as we feel we should according to Scripture. There is an authority that we carry as parents. We need to consider that. Do we still believe in authority? We want to think about this in three ways here this afternoon. Turn with me, first of all, to Romans chapter number 8. First, we want to ask the question, do we still believe in God's authority? And we've already made the statement that all authority rests in God. And that if any man have authority today, whether he be the husband and the leader of a home, whether he be the king or president of a land, or whether he be a police officer pulling you over because you're going too fast, all that authority has been delegated from God. We know that. We see that. We have made that point already. He is the only natural possessor of authority in this universe. It all comes from Him. He has the right to control. He has the ability to determine what He sees fit. I want to read here in Romans chapter number 8. In verse number 28, and I want to give you a warning before we read this verse. Now, a lot of times I think we approach Romans 8:28 like we've had too much sugar. And we're like on a rush, and as soon as the pastor says Romans 8:28, everybody's going, good, 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 good. Because that's all we kind of think about and get out of this verse. But in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, read with me here this verse, and we know that all things work together. Now, before you get to the good of this passage and preach all of that, understand those four words. All things work together. And we can rejoice in the truth of Romans 8:28 for one reason and one reason only, and that is because God has authority over this world to order the events of it as He pleases. Both by might or power and by ability. He has both. And no one can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? Now this verse sometimes is presented in the sense of, you know, well, God's going to make lemonade out of your lemons that He didn't mean to give you. Or, you know, it happened, but trust God, He's going to make it right. Well, we see these four words, all things work together. God is the one that is in control of every circumstance of your life. Every event of this world, both that we see as positive and that we see as negative, there is nothing outside of His control and purposing. I don't understand why He would work in a brother's life to take his wife or work in a brother's life to, you know, bring a child into this world under, you know, less than the best circumstances. But this I know, that God has the authority. He is the one in control. And all things work together. If we do not believe that God is the one with all the authority, then we got some big problems. If we believe that God just simply cleans up the mess and makes it turn out all right for us, we've got big problems, because that means somebody greater than God is delivering into our lives the things that take place. God is the one with all authority. We need to live accordingly. His authority reigns supreme over all creation and over every man. Go to Genesis chapter number 50. all things work together. And then notice what Joseph says here. If there was anybody that had, you know, some right to complain, perhaps, maybe it was Joseph. He seemingly did everything right. Of course, we know he wasn't perfect. He was a man. Seemed to do everything right, and yet he found himself in some pretty drastic circumstances. After his father dies, his brothers are worried. His brothers think, now that our father is dead, surely he will take our lives. Surely he will work and be mean to us as we were to him. I want you to see here in Genesis 50 and verse 20, as Joseph addresses his brother and he says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Now again, before you get to the good, and before you get on that sugar rush of good, 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 read those two words, three words before the word good. God meant it. What's that mean? That everything that befell Joseph, God meant for it to happen. Sometimes we're a little shallow in the way that we think about His authority and His sovereignty. It's not just that God knew about it. It's just not that God, you know, swept up the mess afterwards, but it's that He meant for it to happen. That's the authority that God has. Sadly, in this world, people don't like to consider themselves under the authority of God. We must think about our lives, though, as independent Baptists, as children of God. Why do we at times find ourselves to be despising the authority of God? Why do we at times feel as if we shouldn't be under His control, and by our actions we display that? You know, in Exodus 5 and verse 2, Pharaoh displayed a great despising of the authority of God. Moses came and spoke to him in the name of God. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord? Who is He that He should command me so?" I think a lot of times in our pews on Sundays, as the Word of God is preached, and sometimes in the pulpit too, to be fair, as it is preached, as it is presented, we have the same reaction. Who is God to think He can tell me what to do? Who is God to order me to live in a certain way or to conduct myself according to His Word? Oh, we may not say that verbally, but that is the attitude of our heart at times. We believe sovereignty, we know the doctrine. But answer the question for yourself, do you still believe in the authority of God today? Because He has authority over your life. Don't fight it. The most blessed you'll be in life is when you accept the authority that God has over you and you live accordingly. That's the best it will ever be, as Brother Grigsby talked about this morning. He's not experiencing the best and joyfulness and blessings in life because he's despising the authority of God, but quite the contrary. Oh, how we need to still believe in the authority of God, because He has authority over us. And so many other scriptures we could turn to. Isaiah 46, 9 through 11 tells us that He calls a ravenous bird from the east to do His will, another man from this direction, and He brings it all together as He pleases, because He has authority over it all. No matter how bad we think things are, no matter how far we think our country has gone, no matter how bad things seem to be, the authority still rests in God, and He still has it all under control. Do we still believe in the authority of God? That question is answered more by our lives than it is by our mouths. We need to consider that. Secondly, another question about the subject of authority here this afternoon. And that question is, do we still believe in the authority of Scripture? I mean, think about this. God has all authority. All authority rests in God. He created man, placed us here upon this earth, and He communicated with man. From the very start, He would tell Adam what pleased him, what didn't please him, act accordingly. He continued on telling Abraham and Isaac and all those. Eventually, it started getting written down. And what we have today is God's communication to us of His will. This stands for us as the authority of God in our lives. And we must ask the question, do we still believe in the authority of Scripture? It is not just another book that rests upon our shelf. Amen. It is not just another opinion that a man has written. Amen. It's not just another way that you might choose to live your life. It is the only way. It has authority over us. The Word of God has power over us to direct our lives after His will. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29, familiar verse here, talking about the secret things and the revealed things. You know, there are things that God hasn't told us. I believe there are things that God will never tell us and will never understand. I believe that's true. What happens, though, is we spend a lot of time worrying about those things. We need to spend more time worrying about what He has revealed and what He has told us. And the authority of His words over our lives. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Why? That we may do all the words of this law. He hasn't given His word that it would just simply be only a guide that we may roughly follow. He hasn't simply given His word as just something that we might consider as an alternative, but He has given it to us to direct our steps, to order our lives. And so when we preach the word of God, we are not preaching the words of men. You have not heard the words of men here this week as you have sat under the preaching, but you have heard the authority of Scripture talking about these things that the brethren have brought out. Just as if God Himself were speaking to you through these words. We get into a lot of trouble when we apply, you know, a lot of, you know, human wisdom to how we approach the Word of God. We need to simplify and we need to understand that simply God has said this and we need to do it. We need to do it. Of course, to do it, we have to know it. We have to read it. It has to be hidden away in our heart. But understand, it still has authority over you in your life. So when it says, thou shalt not, you know what that means? It means thou shalt not. Amen. When it says, thou shalt assemble yourselves together, not forsaking the assembling, what does that mean? It means you shall. You shall come to church. You know, I understand the whole, you know, teaching and understanding of our motivation is love. It really is. I mean, if you don't come to church, serve the Lord and all of those things because you love Him, then you've got problems and you're probably not going to do it. But understand, this book has the right. Because God has the authority, this book has the right to tell you what to do. Amen. It does. And so when your pastor gets up and he preaches from the authority of the book, and it says, thou shalt or thou shalt not, it has the authority over your life. And if you choose to act differently than that authority has commanded or directed you to act, you are despising the authority not of your pastor, he's just a man, but you're despising the authority of God as it has been given in His Word. It's how serious this life is that we live. It is exactly that serious. 2 Timothy chapter 3, of course, I thought this verse would have been read a few times during the conference. I don't believe it has been unless I missed it. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, we all know, talks about Scripture. And as we read this verse, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There is the authority. There is the reason why you can pick this book up and take every word that it says, every word that it says, as the truth. And you are bound by it. There is no part of this book that you can say, well, that doesn't apply to me. That doesn't apply to me because of this or because of that. I know there are some ceremonial things and dietary, all that stuff in the Old Testament about that particular stuff. I get that. But you can't throw it all off. You can't say the law doesn't apply. You can't say the Old Testament, you know, doesn't apply. You can't get over in the New Testament and say, well, that was just a specific circumstance. These are the words of God. And we need to respect them as the words of God. Believe them, practice them, live them. So he says here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The reason why this word is profitable is because it carries the authority of God. Amen. There is some profit in some men's writing, though you cannot wholly lift them up and say, this is profitable. Every word is. There's not a book on this earth you can do that to, except this one we have before us today. Amen. Because of the authority of God's word. Let's stop fighting against it. Let's get behind it. Let's live it. Let's do it. Let's order our lives and our churches after it. There is, you know, the old saying that many people have said, I know the Bible says, but, you know. Well, truly, there is no room for but if we believe in the authority of Scripture. When you say that phrase, you are saying, I do not believe this to be the Word of God. I do not believe this to have authority over me in my life. And oh, how dangerous that really is. This book carries authority over us. Don't let our respect, our love, our belief in its authority slip. God said it. That settles it. Don't change it. This book we hold before us is so dear. And we believe the Scripture today to English-speaking people to be the King James Bible. It is the Word of God. Every word of it is the Word of God. And if you can change or throw out one word, we don't have anything. Believe it. Trust it. Live it. It is the authority of God in our hands. Whatever you do in your life, however you live it, you ought to be able to back it up. Right here's my authority. How you raise your kids. Doesn't matter if the government approves or not. Back it up with the authority of the Word of God. It is. It is the authority of God. Do we believe in the authority of Scripture? And then lastly, this morning, this afternoon, turn over to Matthew 28. Do we believe in the authority of God? Do we still believe in the authority of His Word? The power and the ability it has over us in our lives. And then lastly, do we still believe in church authority? Do we still believe in it? Again, that question has been largely answered during this conference. Do we still believe in the authority of the church? Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Verse number 18, we find all authority resting in God. He takes that authority. He delegates it. Here it passes from Jesus Christ to the church. The them in verse 18, the 11 apostles, the foundation of the church at Jerusalem. Not just some random gathering. Not just some believers, and certainly not Christianity at large. I think we all understand that. There are many more people than this that were saved. Many more people believing in the Lord. But He assembles His church, and He says to them, I have all authority because I am God. And here I give that authority to you. You go in my name. You preach and carry out this commission that I have given you in my name. Amen. Do we still believe in church authority today? Church authority is still important. It's a battle we still need to be fighting. As Brother Works said, not just against those that are without, but against those that are within. We need to fight for church authority today. In many cases, I think we have forgotten about it. In many cases, I think we have degraded our understanding of what it is. But all authority on this earth to do the work of the Lord rests in His church. That doesn't make us many friends. That doesn't make us very popular. But when He assembled His 11 together, He didn't go and get the Catholic Church because they weren't around yet. He didn't go and get Wesley because he wouldn't be around for decades or centuries. But He went and got His church. And He said, all authority is here. Right here in this church that will perpetuate itself by succession. A lot of times we as churches today, sometimes liberties are taken. Sometimes authority is undermined. And we need to consider ourselves, consider our church work, consider what's going on in our lives. Are we undermining the authority God has vested in His church? So, another question. How do we use this authority? He gave it to the church. He directed them in the Great Commission. How do we today, in 2015, use the authority that God has delegated to us? It is still in the church body, not in the building, we all know that, but in the body. How do we use it? First, we use this authority, and it still takes church authority to found a New Testament Baptist church. The works preached on that so very well. Anything less than that is unacceptable. Anything less than that is man-made. Anything less than that is over in the 99% of religion today. Anything less. It's not just the best way. It's not just, you know, under the right circumstances. It is the only way. As you look at the examples in Acts 11, Acts 13, Matthew 16, 18, I'll build my church. And He did and is continuing to. And it is being perpetuated, that authority being passed from body to body to body. That's what succession's about. Not only bringing a church into existence so I've got somewhere to go on Sunday, but bringing a church into existence so that authority has passed from Christ down through them to this body, here in this place, so that we have the right and we have the ability to do the work of the Lord here in this place. So very important. Anything less is man-made and unacceptable. We cannot allow ourselves to slip on that point. We should not be ashamed of it. We should not feel as if we are less for it. But we should understand it and proclaim it as has been done here. But that's just one part of when we think about church authority. I mean, there's so much more to the authority that God has given us and what we do with it. We use it to start New Testament Baptist churches. It takes that authority. But secondly, we use that authority to meet together as a church to worship Christ. I don't know that our people really understand that. But the reason why we are able to assemble, to worship, is because the authority of the church has called for its meeting, and because we have been brought together in that place, we can sing praises as a group, as corporately, as it is said. We can preach the Word of God, as we'll get to in a minute. Anything outside of that is not what Ephesians 3:21 is talking about. And then you'll get people to argue and say, well, I can praise God, and I know you can individually, and God is pleased. When in our homes we read the Bible, in our homes we sing songs, in our homes we gather together, but that's not worship in the way that it's described in the New Testament. It takes the authority of the church in order for us to truly worship God. Turn over to Matthew chapter number 18. It takes that authority. We don't just meet because the pastor think it'd be good for us to come together again. We don't worship just because we had so many number of songs or because we spent so many minutes at church. But because of the authority that God has given. You have a service outside of that authority, and it's really not worship. Matthew 18, verse number 20. For where two or three are gathered together, what in my name? There am I in the midst of them. That is, under the authority that I will delegate, and he did, the authority to come together and serve the Lord, worship the Lord, carry out the commission that he gave there. The authority is in the church. It's not in the pastor. Well, I'm glad it's not. You know, I mean, it's hard enough to do the job of the overseer and the under-shepherd. I'm glad it's not in. But one thing that really gets under a pastor's skin is when a church member comes to him and says, well, you decided to do that. I don't have the authority for that. I have the authority to carry out any action. The authority is in the church. I cannot of myself call brethren together for worship. I can't do that. Not according to Scripture. Unless I have the authority of my church saying, let's meet together for worship. Let's invite people to have a Bible conference. Oh, how we need to consider that it takes authority to worship. Thirdly, we use this authority to preach the Word of God. It takes the authority. Brother Works mentioned Romans 10:15. Except he be sent. He can't preach otherwise. He's got to be ordained by a New Testament Baptist church. He has to be brought out from under them, and he has to be authorized by them. And he stands in the pulpit and he preaches the Word of God. That way it's not on the man, but it's on the church. You know, a lot of churches slip into error and they blame pastors. And there's some blame. Truly there is. I mean, if we mess things up, there is blame. But you know what? The authority to keep the body pure is in the body. And if the pastor's out of line, truly out of line, the church needs to deal with it. The authority's in the church. Responsibilities in the church. Preaching. You know, Paul tells us in Acts 19, verses 18 through 20, when he was saved on the road to Damascus, he went to where? He went back to the church. Damascus. He was baptized. And then he preached. See, he was authorized. He was given the power and the ability to preach. Because the commission says what? Go ye therefore. Teach all nations. Preach the Word of God. Authorities in the church. If we act on our own, we have no authority. That brings us to our fourth thing that we do with this authority. With this authority that God has given, we start mission works, or we carry out mission work. It has to be under the authority of the Lord's church. And the purpose being, of course, to honor and glorify Christ. I mean, that's the number one thing. A lot of times people get it wrong. They say, I'm going to start a church. First thing you need to do is preach to honor and glorify Christ. Of course, that takes the authority of the church to be sent. Turn over to Acts 13. But to do mission work, it takes authority. A man cannot strike out on his own, get some people together and start up a New Testament work. It is not, according to Scripture, done in that fashion. Of course, Acts chapter 13 has been read in cover 2 a couple of times. Verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. There's Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Remember Brother Hall preaching a message years ago, and they prayed. Who's they? They is the church. The church here. The church was led of the Holy Spirit. The church took the authority that was given to them by God. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, they said, this man should go to this place. And he went. Preached the Word of God. Churches were started. So many times that gets reversed. And we'll not meddle in any of that today. But it does. It gets out of order. We need to make sure we understand how we are being custodians of this authority that God has placed in His church. I mean, really, that's how I see it. I know the authority is in the body itself, but as we function and as we carry out our duties, we are custodians of that great gift that God has given. Amen. It is a great gift from God. And then quickly, just a couple more things of how we use this authority. We use this authority to discipline in the Lord's church. You know, when it has to be brought to the church that a member is wayward, unfaithful, in sin, it's not the pastor that's disciplining the member. It's the church. It is. It's the church. A lot of times it's squarely on the pastor's shoulder. And he gets looked at all sorts of funny. You want to do what? And all this. Or afterwards it said, you disciplined him. And said, no, I didn't do it. Church did it. Pastor has no authority to say, don't come back. Amen. I shudder to think what would happen if we did. Some of those less than spiritual Sundays we might say that when we ought not to. But it's in the church. The church has authority over my life.
Amen.
It does.
Amen.
And that authority comes from God. It rests in Scripture, the preaching of His Word. And you know what? If I step outside of those lines and I'm unscriptural in my life, the church has the right, both by ability and power, to separate me from its body.
Amen.
Not only does it have the authority to do so, but it has the obligation. As we go back to Matthew chapter 16, we see that. As we read just a moment ago about assembling in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and carrying out His authority for worship. Because that's where He assembles. But as we notice down further in Matthew, before, from verse 15 down to verse 19, what's it talking about? It's talking about grievances in the church. It's talking about making things right. And then he says here in verse number 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Authority rests in the church to deal with the problem. Why? Because the pastor says so? Because the deacon says so? Because we think it'd be a good idea? No, because of what verse 20 says. In my name. When we discipline in the name of Christ. And you know what? We do it for their good. We do. Every time I tell the church that. We desire always to see them back, and it hardly ever happens, it seems, anymore. But that's what we desire. Number 6, we use this authority to observe the ordinances that God has delivered to us in His Word. You know, the authority to observe the Lord's Supper is in the church. It must be closely guarded. It must be observed only by the members of that church. I say members, I don't qualify that. Because if you've been disciplined, you're not a member anymore. But he says very plainly throughout Scripture, the authority rests in the church. We read that in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul said, I delivered him. He delivered him by the power and the authority of God to the church. My brother Minnie mentioned the other night how in the Philippines they call baptism authoritative baptism. That's what it is. Under the authority of the church. When we take him and we mimic the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we say, by the authority of West Milton Baptist Church, I baptize you, my brother or sister. It's not my authority. It's not my power. There's nothing special in me. It's a church ordinance. And we need to guard them with authority that has been given to us. Turn people away if necessary. Oh, how we need to respect the authority God's given the church. Oh, it's about starting works and getting them going and seeing churches born, but it's about so much more than that. We need to guard the ordinances and make sure that they are pure. And then the last one, and how we use this authority, we use this authority to fellowship. You know, mainly the only reason why we're all here today, why we all have enjoyed the sweet fellowship we have enjoyed, is because the New Testament Baptist Church called a meeting. Because we came and enjoyed that meeting. And they used their authority to say, we want to meet, we want to invite people to come from all different churches. Invite their pastors to come and preach. We've came and preached. We've came and been in the Lord's house amongst each other. We've had sweet and wonderful fellowship. It's been under the authority of the Lord's church. Sometimes we take too much liberty with fellowship. And that's part of the day and age that we live in.
Amen.
We need to respect the authority of the Lord's church. We are still independent local bodies. And when we fellowship, it ought to be carried out in that way.
Amen.
We ought to respect that about each other, about each other's churches and places.
Amen.
This is 7 points, 7 things we do this authority. We didn't even talk about business. We didn't even talk about how we, you know, use the Lord's money that He brings into the treasury. I mean, that's all done by the authority of the church.
Amen.
There's so much more. But oh, how we need to ask ourselves, do we still believe in authority? Don't despise it, like he warned Timothy or Titus there in Titus 2:15. Don't allow it to be despised, but fight that we might respect authority as our forefathers have, as those elder preachers did that we like to talk about and that we look up to and love so much. They respected authority of God, of Scripture, and of the church. Where are we today? Oh, how we need to make sure that we are believing, practicing, and living under the reality of authority. Thank you.
Amen.